Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. Dr. Ray isn't here. We traded. Those of you that listen every day know that I wasn't here Monday. I was out at the USCCB, United States Conference of Catholic Bishops meeting, because I'm a member of the National Review Board for another 3 years, so it's pretty exciting to be there with all the bishops and have a mass and celebrated by many, many more bishops than lay people that are in the congregation. So it's always a great experience. So thanks, Dr. Ray, for his cooperation. And so I'm doing today for him, and he was here Monday for me. Always somebody to hear to help you on The Doctor Is In, brought to you by Ave Maria Radio through your local Catholic radio station, of which there are more every week. Sometimes for a while there, last Easter time, it seemed like every day. But so welcome to all of our new stations and our new listeners, as well as welcome to friends who have been with us for many, many, many years. Well, this show is called The Doctor Is In, and give me a call if you have a problem. Well, you know what? Some people give me a call and they don't have a problem if they just want to make a comment, too, or help somebody else that already called because they had that problem before them and they want to add something to that. So jot down this number if you'd like to participate in today's show, because we're together all over the country here, and I think we're about 200 stations now. Our number to get on today's The Doctor Is In is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. It's the number to get on today's show. And today is the feast of St. Albert the Great, one of my favorite saints, because I was a science teacher. My background is in family life education, and my teaching certificates back from college are science, physical education, health, and theology. So you can tell I relate to St. Albert the Great. He's the patron saint of scientists. But St. Albert the Great, he was convinced that every little bit of creation spoke of God, and that even the tiniest piece of scientific knowledge told us something about God. Well, because God's the creator of all things, and God reveals himself to us through creation. And when I was a science teacher, my first couple of weeks were just about God and the relationship to science and the difference between a creator and an inventor and a discoverer, you know, to help the children put science into perspective, that we are not God. We don't create things, but we can use all of our brains and ingenuity and creativity and discoveries to serve God, or actually we can use them to not serve God as well, but how we're supposed to use these gifts, talents, and all this scientific information we have for the glory of God. So today on the Feast of St. Albert the Great, who is known as the teacher of everything there is to know, let's celebrate science and pray for all of our scientists. And many, many doctors and researchers that are part of the scientific community, and ask St. Albert the Great to bless them. St. Albert the Great was such a great teacher that he became the teacher and mentor of St. Thomas Aquinas, who was another genius of his day. So if St. Albert the Great could teach St. Thomas Aquinas, we could learn some things from him as well. He was an advisor to the Pope as well. So his writings are great. If somebody wants to read those, they're remarkable for their scientific knowledge. And so that's what made him the patron saint of scientists. But today, in the Magnificat, we hear something from St. Albert the Great. It is not about science. It's about our problems of the day. And that's what this show is about, our problems of the day. So call me if you have any questions, personal problems, family problems, marriage problems, parenting problems. This is the place to be. The Doctor Is In. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, here to help you today with those problems. You just have to let me know what they are. So the number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. And here's what St. Albert the Great says. He has a way. He said he's got some ideas. What could bring you more happiness than all the riches, delights, honors of this false world and make you more blessed than all the wisdom and knowledge of this corruptible life? That's a pretty big question. Do you know that? What can bring you more happiness than all the riches, delights, honors of this false world and make you more blessed than all the wisdom and knowledge of this corruptible life? St. Albert the Great has that answer. Well, you probably know what it is, but if you're sitting there in financial duress and you haven't had a job in a year and a half, you can't imagine what could bring you more delight than the riches and honors of the world. But what St. Albert the Great teaches us about this is there, he said, the kingdom of God is among you. That was in today's gospel. The kingdom of God is among you. And sometimes I've given some advice to people that are in a situation or even a cocktail party or a family gathering where they're just, you feel like they're being persecuted. And I tell them, like, you know, go to God, you know, imagine yourself in heaven. And it's kind of what St. Albert the Great is telling us. This is what gives us great happiness. He said, abide in God in the secret place of your soul as tranquilly as though there had already risen upon you the dawn of eternity, the unending day of God. Do you ever do that when you're driving in the car and you have a tendency to want to be stressed out, or you think about the problems at work or the problems you're driving home to, or the people that are going to reject you or the people that have rejected you? What if you just kept your eyes on the road, of course, if you're driving in the car, and looked up at the sky, whether it's gray and cloudy or bright and sunny, or whether you see mountains there or you see electric wires there, if you see skyscrapers there, look up out of that windshield and abide in God in the secret place of your soul as tranquilly as though there had already risen upon you the dawn of eternity, the unending day of God. I do that sometimes, looking out the windshield and think, I'm driving to heaven. And he said, St. Albert the Great said, strong in the love of Jesus, go forth from yourself with a pure heart, a conscience at peace. That's trouble for some of us. A faith unfeigned. And in every trial, every event, commit yourself unreservedly to God, having nothing so much at heart as perfect obedience to His will and good pleasure. So, St. Albert the Great gives us that hint. He says something that's more valuable than all the happiness and riches in the world is being at peace with God, being in union with God. And he said, if you get this far, you should often enter within your soul and abide there, engaging yourself as much as you can, or disengaging yourself from as much as you can from all things. And this is what we do with our problems, because everybody has problems. Everyone has sufferings. Everyone has crosses to carry. They might come and go. I mean, you might be in one of those happier times of life. But are you at peace with God? And he says, St. Albert the Great says, preserve your will from every earthly care and let every fiber of your heart be rooted in the love of the sovereign good. Then your whole soul, with all its powers, be recollected in God and form but one spirit with Him. And he said, this enables us to become by grace what God is by nature. So St. Albert the Great says, cast yourself and all your miseries unreservedly into the bosom of God. And at that moment, you become pleasing to God. You've humbled yourself and surrendered to Him, and He'll fill your soul with confidence and hope. What is more blessed, he says, than to call all our care on Him who cannot fail? As long as you lean upon yourself, and you will totter. He will, because we're self, you know, we're weak. But if we throw ourselves without fear into the arms of God, He will embrace you, He will heal you, and He will save you. And we need to be ready. Although I mentioned I was at the bishop's meeting this week, last week, I had to bury my husband's brother-in-law, my husband's sister's husband. died, one of those surprisingly deaths of a heart attack, instantly walking across the way with a cup of coffee, not doing anything strenuous. He was healthy. He lived a good life. He was not overweight. He exercised. He ate well. I mean, he just dropped out of a heart attack. So you never know when you're going to be ready. So if we can practice this presence of God, as St. Albert the Great tells us to, and we can look at our conscience and find peace with that, we will be ready. But if you're practicing that presence of God and your conscience is not at peace, well, that's not in this article from St. Albert the Great, but we know that if your conscience is not at peace, it's time to get to confession or do what you're meant to do, to do God's will, to live solely in His will. As St. Albert the Great does say, in perfect obedience to His will and good pleasure. So that's where we're going to find our happiness and peace. But for now, we got to solve these problems of the day anyway. Give me a call, as many of you have. Dolores, Sharon, Julie, Liz, Patty. Lines are full. Stay on. We'll have 5 great calls ready to start off the day. Whoop, we lost one already. Said that too soon. Well, now there's a line open waiting to hear from you at 877-573-7825. This is The Doctor Is In. This is Colleen Kelly Mass, Trading Days with Dr. A today. Give me a call at 877-5-PEP-TALK. We'll chat. We'll do some problem solving in light of our faith. We'll be back in just a moment.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
What makes an act moral or immoral? The Catechism of the Catholic Church lays out specific criteria for us to follow. When he acts deliberately, man is, so to speak, the father of his acts. Acts freely chosen can be morally evaluated as either good or evil. The sources on which the morality of an act are determined are 3. 1, the object chosen. 2, the intent of the act. 3, the circumstances surrounding the act. To be moral, the object of the act itself must be good and the intention pure. The circumstances are secondary to the first 2 criteria. They can increase or diminish the morality of the act. For instance, stealing a candy bar is wrong, but far less evil than robbing a bank. Intent and circumstance, however, cannot change the moral quality of the act itself. The end does not justify the means. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Ever thought you'd make a bundle by trading in or selling your used vehicle only to find out it's worth a dinner for two? Well, it's much more valuable to donate your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Thousands of Americans donate their vehicle each year. The donation to Ave Maria is easy, tax-deductible, and supports our efforts to evangelize. A year from now, will you remember that dinner or your gracious and selfless donation? Go to AveMariaRadio.net to find out more. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Do that. Welcome back to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mass, your hostess today. Just so happy to be here to help you with your personal problems. So call me at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK on this feast of St. Albert the Great, patron saint of scientists, one of my favorite saints, teacher of St. Thomas Aquinas, advisor to the Pope. Let's pray to him for all of our doctors and researchers and all sorts of scientists that are discovering new things and learning about God, hopefully. Okay, to our calls now, Dolores from Texas. Welcome to the show, Dolores. How can I help you today?
How are you?
Great. What's your question today, Dolores?
Well, I am the parent of a teenage boy who's just turned 17, and my husband and I, you know, with him being our oldest and our youngest is 5, you know, we've got everything going on in between there as well. But we seem to lately just be experiencing a lot of difficulty in talking with him. He's moody. I read here and read there, and I have a background in teaching as well, so I understand some of it comes with age.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you never know just how challenging those years can be until you're facing them. And he shuts down. He doesn't want to speak with us. Or when he does speak, he's disrespectful in many ways.
Ooh.
Really short with us on how he responds because, our questions or our concerns seem to bother him. He's very frustrated with school at this point. I don't know if it's just he wants to be done already and, go into that next stage of school. And he's very bright and does well. But he tends to many times leave things, till the end. And has, schoolwork missing. And, then when he starts trying to get in, okay, grades jump right back up. He can do very well. But there's all these little things that just build up. And so I don't know the best approach at this point to try to speak to him. I don't know sometimes what to say. I mean, I go into prayer first to make sure that I say the right thing.
Good.
But I don't know if that always ends up, with the right result because he still gets angry. Or he, it kind of gets turned back to the fact that we're questioning, that we're always, that we don't understand, that we don't get it, that... And I just don't know what to do. So when I turn on the radio and I heard, I'm like, oh, I need to call.
Okay, welcome to adolescence. Now, you said he's your oldest?
Yes, he's our oldest.
Okay, and how old is he again?
17. He just turned 17 at the beginning of this month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this could last for a while, Dolores, so we need to work on that. This is part of this emerging adolescence. You're right, it is a part of the transition to adulthood where he's trying to find his place in society and break away from... to initiate his own ideas and break away from parental controls in a way, but this has to be done in a controlled way. So that's why he's, in some ways, questioning you because when you're 17 till about 24, you know everything. Remember that time of life? And your parents don't know anything. And we know it's coming, but then when it comes, especially if it's your first one, it always catches us off guard. By the time you get to the fourth one, I remember my fourth child, he would try to get a rise out of you. Like, well, you know what? I've heard this. This is the fourth time I've heard this. This doesn't even faze me. Why don't you just don't say you hate me right out loud in your anger, But even if you say it, it doesn't faze me anymore because I know you don't mean it. Yes, I do. No, you don't mean it. You'll change your mind and apologize in about 6 years. No, why won't you? But anyway, if you get some temperaments that drive me crazy, like my husband's temperament, he goes nuts. And to me, I kind of enjoy the bantering back and forth. So it's because I know it is temporary. And I would say to my daughter when she was in there, it's like, don't worry, you'll be nice again. This is how I am. I said, no, you will be nice again. I know it's coming. It just isn't here yet. This is a phase. But anyway, so by child four or five, you can relax a little bit more about it. But for the first one, you've got to figure out, first of all, they're bad examples to the rest of the family. Second of all, they're disrespectful. They're disobeying the fourth commandment. We've got to stop this. When you try to stop it, they get even moodier and more rude. So we've got to work our way back. So first of all, a teenager at 17 needs to be listened to, not just given instructions. And so if you can at all, find a time each day, and sometimes it's late at night when the other kids are in bed, and, there might be their talkative time, or maybe it's when they first come home, try to give him some time where he can download his day, unload, but have some basic rules. Say, I'd like to hear what you want to tell me about your day, but it must be respectful, and we can't do it standing up. The thing is, when they're walking down the hall, or you're standing at the kitchen, or somebody's at the table, he throws words at you, doesn't he, Dolores?
Yes. Yes.
And so he throws them at you like you're going to catch a basketball or something like that, and he isn't thinking of you as a person, and he isn't even thinking of himself as a person. He's just like, I got to express myself because I'm 17 now. And so try to understand where his mind is, but say, let's find a time where we can have a civil conversation now that you're emerging into an adult. to say we're going to need to start having some more adult conversations. You know, I wouldn't sit and down and talk to my friends like this. You know, I wouldn't talk to the doctor like this. I wouldn't talk to, you know, your teachers like this. So let's sit and start talking as adults would speak, which is not rude, not short. And then, and even explain to him why you're doing this is because you understand he's trying to become his own person. You understand that he's going to rebel against some things you say, but certain things need to be done respectfully, and certain things need to be obeyed even while you're an emerging adult. Then one of the things you want to do in these conversations is to begin to teach him, Dolores, how to solve his own problems so he can have a little bit of distance to you. When he presents a problem, you present an answer, then he argues with the answer, doesn't he, Dolores?
Yes.
Okay. See, it's a pattern. Many parents have seen this before. Then he argues with the answer. So he say, hey, you know, wow, that's really a problem. So, you know, first agree with him. Because that's what he wants. You know, like, okay, does she understand me? Otherwise, he'll say, my mother doesn't understand me. So say, wow, that's really a problem. You know, I've seen this happen before, but what do you think you should do? And help him think through, because he has his own idea. But then you don't want to miss the part of guiding him. You know, so listen first. Say, wow, how do you think that would really work? Have you thought of the pros and cons of that? And help him learn how to think. So what you want to do is give him some critical thinking skills as he begins to solve these little problems so he doesn't throw them at you and argue about them. Then when it comes to the idea of respect and obedience, you still need to command that respect and obedience. He's 17. He lives in the house, you know, and remind him that if he's going to be an adult, he cannot speak to you like a disrespectful child. So have some consequences for that. And he knows he's out of control and wants to be in control. That's how his brain is developing right now. He knows he doesn't make good decisions, but he can't do it. He's confused. And so talk to him about the consequences when they aren't happening, not as soon as he mouths off, and you, da, 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 you know, say, okay, every time you do this, you know, you speak disrespectfully to me or roll your eyes or slam the door, then this is the consequence. And it's going to be serious, and it's going to be short, just like the serious, short offense. So it's going to be, you know, recollect your cell phone or no computer for 3 hours or something, or an extra chore, you know, something that, okay, stop everything right now for 15 minutes, you're scrubbing the kitchen floor. And he agrees to that at a time when you're not angry, and he knows there's a consequence. So then when the volume starts rising and this bantering back and forth, you can stop and say, whoops, I'm not going to get into that argument. That was disrespectful. Here's your consequence. You've got to fulfill that, you know, either right now or by the time you go to bed tonight. And, you know, have your husband on board with the same set of consequences so you know what the natural one is. And then you don't have to argue about everything that comes up. You know what the consequence is. He knows that. And then he begins to discipline himself. Then he knows, hey, if I want to do this, you know, the consequence is only going to grow by, I'm not going to have a car for 3 weeks if I do this 3 times in a row. I only lost it for a few hours if I got control of myself earlier. So try those things, the conversation, the listening, and the quick, regular, expected discipline to any disrespect. And then, you know, I did read out about a book, and if you want to read it and tell me about it and call in the show later, I've not read this book, but I heard there's a book called You Can Have a New Teenager by Friday, From Mouthy and Moody to Respectful and Responsible in 5 Days, which I thought was kind of interesting. So I've never read it, though.
Teenager. What was it? You Can Have a New Teenager by Friday?
Well, it's actually the first word. I just looked it up. The first word is Have a New Teenager by Friday. By Dr. Kevin Lehman, L-E-M-A-N. And I've read some of his other things before, and they are good. I just haven't read this particular book, so I can't speak on it. But if you can let me know about it, I know some of his other writings have been very, very good. So you can get it on, you know, Kindle or Amazon or your local bookstore. But Have a New Teenager by Friday by Dr. Kevin Lehman, L-E-M-A-N, and it's a bestseller. But check that one out. That, you know, the tips I gave you will, you know, give you a good start, and then see if that adds some ideas to you. And then you'll be more experienced in teenagers, Laura, so it won't be so bad when the next one comes along. Actually, by the time I got to my fourth and fifth, they pretty much had watched the big kids. When they were little, they'd say, Mom, you know, will you kick me out of the house if I mouth off? I'm like, well, you better, you know, just stick straight now because you know it's coming, and we'll be older by then. We'll be able to take less of this. So they watched very carefully. So they'll learn, and you'll learn as well. So get it right if you can, as well as you can the first time, and be clear, be calm, and don't take his hatred or comments personally, but take it seriously. Okay?
Right. No, that's wonderful. I appreciate it. Believe me, it's been helpful just being able to express it to someone else and hearing your, you know, tips right now. Wonderful, because even though you know it, sometimes you get lost in the middle of it all and
exactly.
You feel foolish.
You're wrapped up in the emotion, and you're offended, and you're wondering if your kid's ever going to turn out. Yeah, it's, you need somebody. That's why we have the show, actually. Somebody who's not in the heat of that argument, helping you tell you what probably would have been common sense anyway, but you can't think of it at the moment. So thanks for the call, Dolores. You helped a lot of moms and dads today. Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. If you call and stay on the line, I know a couple of people have had to hang up already. We had to spend time with Dolores because I know a lot of people have that problem. Two lines open waiting to hear from you at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number. We'll be back with more of The Doctor Is In after this message.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, Chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
Many of us have fallen off a ladder sometime or other. Have you ever fallen off a tightrope or a high wire? I haven't, and I don't particularly want to. But I do know that you can fall off on either side. It's the same thing with the truth. You can get it wrong two ways, either too little or too much. People can err on either side. Sometimes they ignore it completely, and sometimes they exaggerate it. It's like this about the end of the world. Now think about it. Most people, and many Christians, I'm afraid, among them, forget about it completely. They shut it out and ignore it. They don't know much about it, and they don't want to know. They forget their own life will come to an end one day, and so will the whole of our world. Other people, including some Christians, I'm afraid, exaggerate the truth and announce that the world will end on some particular date and go and climb up a mountain or hide down a mineshaft. What's the real truth here? Jesus says, the kingdom of God isn't coming with signs to be seen, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, for the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. He said to the disciples, people will say to you, lo, it's there, or lo, it's here. Do not go, do not follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights the sky, so will the Son of Man be on that day. So he's teaching us the end of the world will be sudden, and the end of the world will be unmistakable. So get ready for it by living a good life. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read today at Mass. You can reach on 734-930-3257. And remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
Welcome back to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice. I won't beat you up. From a Catholic perspective, this is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, just here to help you with your personal problems. So call this toll-free number, 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to get on today's show. Laura just called with a book recommendation for Dolores. Go ahead, Laura. We'll take you. That should be quick before we get to the rest of our problems. We've got a solution here. Thanks for the call, Laura. You're on the air now.
Hi. I do not have any teenagers, but there is a book that I have read by Dr. Gregory Popchak, and it's called Parenting with Grace, and it covers all stages of raising children. I only have a toddler. And I know I have it earmarked and penciled in everywhere in it for my toddler. And I know it has a lot of really good suggestions for teenagers, too. And I just wanted to suggest that to Dolores as another reference.
Very good. Thank you so much. Our our show, the show preceding this in many of our listening networks. So thank you so much. Parenting with Grace by Dr. Gregory Popcheck. I appreciate that recommendation. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. And Julie from Washington, D.C. is on the air now. Welcome to the show, Julie. How can I help you today?
Yes, hi, Colleen. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, happy to.
So I have a question and some advice that I need. This is about a situation between my sister and myself, and I love her very much. I haven't spoken to her in about 2.5 years. Just go back a little bit. I believe I was never told why, so I don't know 100%, but
oh,
I'm 99% positive. It's the break in the relationship came from a situation that really had nothing to do with her or I. It was a inappropriate situation that occurred between her 18-year-old son, my nephew, and my then 10-year-old daughter. And it was a situation that I walked in on, and it turned out that it was basically she was watching TV. He came in, sat next to her, turned the lights off, kind of put the blankets over them, even though she said not to, was massaging her, touching her leg. No sexual contact in itself happened, but she was very scared, and I had come upstairs to let them know that dessert was ready, and he jumped off the couch and looked like he saw a ghost. So I knew that there was something not
something
right.
Wrong. And they're cousins?
Yes, they're cousins, and he was 18, she was 10.
Oh,
it wasn't like, you know, 2 7-year-olds playing doctor where you just kind of go, hey, this is inappropriate.
Yeah, maybe. Don't do this again.
Right. So I went home. I was very shaken.
Yeah.
I'm divorced, so I didn't have a partner to talk to. I taught at the time sexual abuse training at the parish I was working at, and I knew that it was wrong. So
yeah.
I contacted a friend very neutrally. I didn't say it was me. I didn't say it was my daughter. And I had spoken to her on numerous occasions because I teach sexual abuse training. So she thought I was just speaking about a family that I knew.
Right.
And I told her what happened. And she said, well, the best thing would be for that person to speak to the 18-year-old first because they are an adult. And then have the 18-year-old tell their mother what happened and then have him, have him tell that person. And then that person should call their sibling. So basically what she was telling me without telling me was, speak to your nephew, tell him that you, how it's affected your daughter, what's going on, then tell him to tell my sister and then have my sister call me.
Right.
So I did that. He was going back to college, so unfortunately the only time I had to do it was over Christmas break at a Christmas party. But I did. I went up. It was very uncomfortable. But I approached him. I think he knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And he apologized, but he said he had no intent of anything sexual, although I know that that is not the case. I know he was priming him. And I have no doubt that if I hadn't stepped in, he would have continued to do so. Her emotions were just raw. I mean, she was crying. She was, I never want to go back there. I mean, you don't feel that way if a cousin just comes, sits next to you. And
right.
Very disturbing happened. And the year before that as well, I had walked in on him. They were standing there together, but he also looked very strange, and she looked like she had done something wrong but didn't know what. So it was sort of like, what is that? But they really, they only see each other like twice a year, and it's not like they're ever a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
So I approached him, and I told him that I loved him, but that, I was very concerned, and had anything ever happened to him as a child? He had a male babysitter for a long time. He said he didn't recall. I said, well, whatever the case is, you are never to be alone with her again.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe you need some counseling. And if you need help paying for that, I'm happy to, assist with that. But these are the parameters, and that I was watching him. And I told him he needed to tell my sister.
Mm-hmm.
So he did, but he did not tell me that he had done that. So about a week and a half later, I got a call from my brother, my older brother. He's 10 years older. And said that he wanted to meet with me and my parents and my sister about what had happened. So I'd never spoken to my sister. I'd never had the opportunity to sit with her privately. And I did not go to the rest of the family because I wanted to protect her
Right, keep it as quiet as possible.
Mm-hmm. Right, but she wanted to talk about it like that, so she chose to do that. And we talked about it, and basically they all denied that he had any intent and that she was exaggerating because she's from a divorced family. And,
oh,
and basically blamed her. And, so it was, I just kind of walked away very hurt, but I, you know, my sister did say that she was sorry that he caused her uncomfort. And, you know, she did hug me and she cried and she said she knows me bottom of her heart. He never meant anything. And
So she kind of admitted that he did something then.
She admitted that he massaged her. He admitted that, but that he had no intent of any, you know.
Anything more than that.
Right, that it would ever, right. And I asked Lanise, I said, well, do you think he was just meant? She goes, no, Mom, he was kind of, you know, really close to me. I mean, she was just, I mean, she was beside herself. And the thing is he has every reason to cover it up. She has no reason to lie.
Yeah.
There's no reason. I mean, she loves her cousin. She has no, there's
right.
No,
so how can I help you now? What do you think we're trying to do here? Have you made an attempt to reconcile with your sister?
Well, what happened was it was very odd. You know, she asked if I could, if I would be willing to go up with her and my daughter to see her son and try to get the kids to have a comfortable relationship again, and then he could maybe apologize. So I asked my daughter. She was willing for it. We did that. Then I met my future husband, and she's in the middle of a divorce, so she'd call, and I, you know, I'd help, you know, I'd try to help her with some of her emotional things going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I was busy working and packing. I was moving. He's in the military. I was moving out of state. Mm-hmm. And she didn't really help much with the wedding, but that's okay. I know she was busy with her own things. And the week before we left, she came over, and we had a very nice conversation. And then when I moved to out of state, I never heard from her again.
Okay. All right. We are, obviously, it's break time. Let me respond to this right after this message. We'll be back with more of the doctors and...
Cresta in the Afternoon is brought to you in part by the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds offer equity and fixed income mutual funds that can combat today's low interest rates that harm many long-term investment plans. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Their portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. To learn more, the number is toll-free, 1-866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Be captivated by the angelic music of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, in their debut album, Advent at Ephesus. The Benedictines of Mary are a young contemplative order of nuns from America's heartland. Advent at Ephesus is a rare collection of inspiring pieces, in stores everywhere November 20th. To find out more, go to DeMontfortMusic.com or order now at Amazon.com.
What makes an act moral or immoral? The Catechism of the Catholic Church lays out specific criteria for us to follow. When he acts deliberately, man is, so to speak, the father of his acts. Acts freely chosen can be morally evaluated as either good or evil. The sources on which the morality of an act are determined are three. 1, the object chosen. 2, the intent of the act. 3, the circumstances surrounding the act. To be moral, the object of the act itself must be good and the intention pure. The circumstances are secondary to the first two criteria. They can increase or diminish the morality of the act. For instance, stealing a candy bar is wrong, but far less evil than robbing a bank. Intent and circumstance, however, cannot change the moral quality of the act itself. The end does not justify the means. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Welcome back to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today, here to help you with your personal problems. lines are full, so I won't even announce the phone number for a few minutes. We are talking to Julie from Washington, D.C., with a long-standing issue here. 2.5 years your sister hasn't spoken to you, Julie, and I can hear that it's aching on your heart, especially with the problem that it's rooted in some inappropriate conduct and some denial of the truth of the situation, and so there is some division there. So how far apart do you live, and how often do you communicate? If did you communicate before she quit talking to you, Julie?
Mm-hmm. Before, I lived about 15 minutes from her house, and she's 8 years older, so, I wouldn't say we had didn't see each other every day, because she's always been sort of more like a second mom to me. You know, mm-hmm. by the time I was old enough to remember, she was already out of the house and in college. Mm-hmm. Both of my oldest siblings are that way. My younger sibling and I are closer in growing up. But, you know, we would talk maybe once a week.
Okay. And now if you try to contact her, does she just not answer the phone, or how does she...
She doesn't answer the phone, and if I leave a message, but when I first moved away, I thought, oh, well, I just didn't catch up with her, and I'd leave a message, hi, it's just me, I was calling to see how you are. Just, mm-hmm. I mean, after 4, 5, 6 messages, you kind of get the picture that the person...
Right. Exactly.
And... when I go there, because my parents live there, as well as my other two siblings, who have pretty much had to take sides and they've taken hers, so I don't really have much contact with them either. So it isn't just my relationship with my sister, it's also with my two other brothers, who I really don't have any contact with at all anymore.
Okay, I'm going to suggest something, Julie, and that is, if they're rejecting any of your efforts to reach out to them, I suggest that you cool those down for a while and keep it to like 4 times a year. And then they'll start wondering, like, why isn't Julie calling us? And in that time, I want you to pray for them. Not reject them, but really pray for them. So you'll have union with your siblings that don't speak to you in a spiritual way. I mean, sincerely, from the bottom of your heart, pray for their souls. Pray for that God will fill their hearts with love. Pray that you'll know how to love them when you speak to them or see them again. And really pray for them and send them all of your love. And about 4 times a year... send it, if you're going to go over there to visit, you can, in their area, you can just say, hey, I'm coming in town, just want to know if you wanted a cup of tea or to have lunch, or you want to get together, see you, at our parents' house, and invite, and don't take it personally as a rejection, but just, if they reject it, fine, wait another couple months, next time you have an opportunity to call them, send a birthday card or a Christmas card, love to get together with you, and again, be ready to accept that they can reject at any time. It might take, if they haven't spoken to you for 2.5 years, it might take another 2.5 years. But just continue a very loving, one-way outreach to them, whether it's, sending flowers or a birthday card or a phone call to say you're stopping in or send something funny, on the email, something that would entertain them. And try to reach out knowing that you're doing your duty to love them in the way that a sibling should love a sibling. And they, as you continue to pray for them, will find the right moment of openness when they're ready to speak with you. And after a year of doing that, you can say if there's anything that you think we need to forgive each other for, let's do that so we can, get on with our relationship, because life is too short to be not speaking to each other. But I'd say reach out and step back, simultaneously, so that they'll start thinking like, wow, she isn't calling me, rather than, oh, there she goes again. Doesn't she know I don't like her anymore, or whatever? Maybe they're just too busy. So I'd say to try to follow that advice, and then in a year or so, find out if they're interested in any more reconciliation, and then just continue to pray for them. And that will help your heart grow as well. When you pray for someone that has offended you and you don't even understand why, let God work. He does a much better job than we do anyway. God's awesome. Thanks for the call, Julie. This is The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Our next caller is Liz from San Francisco, California. Welcome to the show, Liz. How can I help you today?
Hey, Doctor. Yes, I have a concern with my brother. He's actually 40 now, and he hasn't left the parents' house in like over 10 years. I know he has a problem. I just don't know what kind of problem, and I don't know what kind of help to get him, because I've gotten therapy before, but it was kind of pricey, and not only that, but they never dealt with that kind of issue, so I don't think they really knew how to help me with that.
So you're saying he hasn't left the house as in stayed inside or lives there for 10 years?
No, stayed inside. He hasn't gone out. He doesn't go to the doctors. He doesn't work. He doesn't work.
He doesn't go to church. He doesn't visit the neighbors. He doesn't go pick up the paper or the mail, anything.
Well, he doesn't see my grandma or anything.
Wow, but this is a problem.
It is, and I have a family of my own. I have two kids, and I just don't know how to... I mean, I worry because my parents are getting older now. And I mean, he doesn't ask for a lot. He's not a big, you know, problem. I'm troublesome or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
He'll
pay the rent or make a contribution to your parents?
No, he doesn't work. So,
and is he mentally ill? Does he have?
He's not. No, he's not mentally ill. He's very smart.
Or is he just lazy?
You can say that, I guess. He's lazy, but he has some kind of problem. He knows he has some kind of problem, but he doesn't tell us what kind of problem. So I don't know how to get him out.
Okay. Do your parents know what the problem is?
No.
No. So he's just there. He exists, and he's not really living life. He's existing.
Not, and I don't know. I mean, I've heard hermits, you know, exist. I don't know if there's present time hermits. I don't know if that's an acceptable thing or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sometimes get tempted to call psychics, but I know that's not the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what.
And does he have a good spiritual life? Does he
no.
pray continuously?
Church, no.
Okay. And when you go there, does he speak with you? Do you converse? Do you acknowledge one another and do things together, play any games or have conversations?
Yes. He plays with my two kids. He plays with my two kids.
Okay, so he does have some interaction when people come over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, have you ever invited him out when you go over there?
Once in a while he comes out, but it has to be like, it's like pulling teeth.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's like twice a year.
All right. Well, I'd say first pray for him, of course, because God's the one that's going to move his heart. And then find out from your parents if they know if there is a, you know, maybe it's just a social problem or emotional problem. You know, maybe it is a mental problem. But I would see what you can do to befriend him. I mean, when you come over, and do invite him out more often than twice a year, and see if he's interested or willing in getting some help and getting out with other people, and just make a simple suggestion. For example, just say, oh, at Thanksgiving, we're going to go, you know, feed the homeless at our parish Wednesday night. You know, think about coming maybe this year or next year. And you could do something good, because everybody wants to do something good, you know. Or if you're going to church for Christmas, you know, again, just say now, like, okay, you know, Christmas is in about 6 weeks. We'd love you to come to Mass with us. And if you'd like to go to confession the night before, you know, we're going to do that too. Think about it. In case it's not like a serious mental illness, but he's just got an emotional or social issue where he doesn't want to come out, he's got time to think about it, prepare for it, and give him little nudges of encouragement to come out. And when you can get to a point where he might, you know, come out, or he might open up, or he might be open to at least seeing people, or even going for a car ride to look at people's Christmas lights or something like that, you know, ask him, you know, what he dreams of, what makes him happy, what would he like to do, does he have any, you know, wishes or aspirations, and see if you can motivate him to be more of what God wants him to be, because God wants more of everybody. If he's very bright, as you say, you know, even, you know, a job, you know, working from home that stimulates his mind, you know, would help him get out of his laziness. Or if he could even write, you know, or tutor, you know, other, you know, children to read. Don't come all with all those suggestions, you know, in 5 minutes, okay, like I just did.
Yeah.
But it'll blow them away. But gently, you know, in each visit, make a little suggestion and help him start thinking, like, hey, you know, what do you dream of? What do you, you know, if and then when there's a death in the family, just say, hey, you know, if we died tomorrow, what do we wish we would have done? You know, what are some things that you, you know, think you could do? And then and see if he has, you know, if it's just something small in his way, it might take that encouragement. And if it's something bigger, you'll get to know him in a way that he might be willing to seek help, knowing that your parents are not going to live forever and he's not going to be able to freeload off of them forever as well. But take it in the kind of steps where it's palatable for him if he hasn't been out for 10 years or worked for 10 years. But also encourage him to not waste his life, to do something and begin to think about it now so that before your parents pass, he can be self-sufficient, can make a contribution to society and hopefully get paid for that in such a way that he can support himself. So it's almost treating him like an adolescent in a way, that he's just finished college. Like,
yeah.
How are we going to launch?
Yeah.
You're going to have to do this as a sibling since, you know, the parents aren't, you know, ready or willing to make any changes about it, and then solicit their cooperation. Just say, hey, you know, I think it's time we get, my brother here, moving a little bit. You know, if you can work with me, yeah, I'm going to do some encouragement here, and I'd appreciate your backup. So then it's a little bit of teamwork working on that as well.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay, thanks for the call, Liz. God bless.
Thank you so much.
Bye bye. This is The Doctor Is In. We'll be back right after this message.
Be captivated by the angelic music of the Benedictines of Mary, Queen of Apostles, in their debut album, Advent at Ephesus. The Benedictines of Mary are a young contemplative order of nuns from America's heartland. Advent at Ephesus is a rare collection of inspiring pieces in stores everywhere November 20th. To find out more, go to DeMontfortMusic.com or order now at Amazon.com.
Do you want a family physician who respects the inherent dignity of every human person of any age? Do you want your physician to respect parents as the primary educators of their children and not the secular culture? Sacred Heart Medical Center is a medical practice that is Christ-centered, family-oriented, and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. With locations in Livonia and Brighton, learn more today by calling 734-338-0600. That's 734-338-0600 or at sacredheartmedical.org.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
How do you spend your Sundays? Jesus gave us the Sabbath for rest, relaxation, and time to spend with family and friends. On our next program, Father Ricardo addresses Reclaiming Sundays. His title is The Sabbath, Feast of Freedom. Listen to Christ is the Answer Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday afternoons at 5, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the Answer.
Christ is the Answer is brought to you by the Ave Maria Communications Guild.
Welcome back to The Doctor Is In, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mass, your hostess today, here to help you. And we'll go to our phones here because we just have a few minutes left and we want to talk to Melissa from Minnesota. Welcome to the show, Melissa. How can I help you today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. my husband and I, we've been together since we were 15 and we're now 35, so it's been about 20 years. And he has never believed in God, and we have a 15-year-old and an 8-year-old daughter. And just recently, my 15-year-old decided not to complete her confirmation classes and decided not to go to church anymore. And my husband won't let me, quote-unquote, make her go to church or make her, you know, not that I would want to make her. I just feel like it's best. Like brushing your teeth at night and going to bed. Kids don't want to do that, but I feel it's best. But he just hates organized religion, especially the Catholic faith. I don't really understand why, but my question is it wrong for me to stay with him? Should I don't know what the criteria is, but should I seek out an annulment? What's best for my children? I go to adoration and pray for this all the time, a conversion of his heart, and for my teenage daughter to come back to the church. And now my youngest is on Sundays. I just get sick in my stomach because I fear, like, nope, I want to stay home with Daddy instead of go to church. And I'm so tired.
Yeah.
And I don't know what is the right choice.
Right. Now, your marriage is valid in the Catholic Church. You got married in the church. It's a sacramental marriage.
right?
Okay. This is not reason to leave a marriage. You married him when he was an atheist or didn't believe in God, and he still doesn't believe in God. So you knew what you're getting into from the beginning, right, Melissa?
Right. Yes.
Okay, it's just a problem when we get married, we don't know what impact that's going to have on our life in the long run.
Right.
And now you're seeing that. So we need to work with the situation that we have. You have the grace of God to work through it and with it in hopes of one day your husband knowing eternal life. And so your loving example, your kindness toward him, your patience toward him, your understanding, breaking down those walls of division between you through your unselfish love, through your self-giving love, is going to speak to him more loudly than, you know, any Bible will, because he doesn't believe the Bible is the Word of God anyway. He doesn't believe in God. There's no argument that's going to change his mind. He doesn't even have the basics to do that. Then your ache about your daughter. Again, she is your responsibility, so you should have a stomach ache when she doesn't go to Mass, and you should ask your husband's cooperation in this to at least to encourage or not undermine your efforts to get her to church. Whatever it would take to get your daughter to church, encouragement, intellectual discourse, better understanding of the Eucharist, making friends with people who have other teenagers her age, that the whole family comes over for dinner, or hangs out with you on Sundays after Mass, and your husband just can be around and make friends with people who are church-going people so that they can see that this is a good thing. So family friendships would help, and then convincing your daughter to go to church with you would help, and asking your husband for his cooperation, or at least not undermining your efforts to get her to church, would help that. And then to alleviate that stomach ache, you offer this to God. Just say, here are my three efforts, Lord. I'm doing my best of what I can do to be a good example of your love, to bring your love to my husband and my daughter, and to invite my daughter and teach her in the faith. And so try those three things, and then offer that to God through our Blessed Mother, who will package it up with beautiful graces. Thanks for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on The Doctor Is In, reminding you to be Christ to others.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com, building community one business at a time. CatholicBusinessPages.com. Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
How many of you abide by the 24-hour rule? You know, when angry, wait 24 hours and then respond? Even if you want to write that email while still in a rage, go ahead. But a wise man will push save and not send. He knows that in 24 hours, his tune will have changed. This concept is biblical. Just open the book of Proverbs. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 29:20. It takes discipline, maturity, and wisdom to wait before engaging with someone while angry. Wise is what the Lord aspires us to be. No doubt at one point or another in life, anger has gotten the best of all of us. But the next time you feel the need to respond to the person who is engaging you in an argument, write it down and sit on it for a while. In 24 hours, words of wisdom will have surfaced, and the foolish tongue will have been silenced. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, the communication evangelist.
The Doctor Is In is brought to you in part by CatholicBusinessPages.com. Your national and local online business directory, connecting Christian business professionals with Catholic consumers. Advertisers have taken a stand to support Christian family values in the marketplace. It's important to support businesses that embrace life and promote the gospel of Christ. And at CatholicBusinessPages.com, business professionals have taken that stand. CatholicBusinessPages.com, a great place to get connected.
Is your son an overachiever and needs an intellectual challenge? Or do you have a son that needs to be motivated to excel?
Parents, take a few minutes today to learn how sending your child to the University of Detroit Jesuit High School and Academy can challenge and motivate students to achieve their fullest potential. Visit their website at uofdjesuit.org or by calling 313-862-5400. The University of Detroit Jesuit High School and Academy,